If you watched the debate last night in search of policy content about the great economic issues of our time, they weren't easy to find amid the badgering and the crosstalk. I'm David Brancaccio. Amid the name-calling and petulance at the debate last night, our assignment was looking for positions helping us have a clearer understanding of former Vice President Joe Biden and President Donald Trump's positions on matters affecting our livelihoods. Like me, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams was up late following what were supposed to be six debate topics. The economy was one of those topics, but Kimberly, what did voters actually learn?
Not much new, David. It was really hard, as you mentioned, to sort through everything to get to the actual policy. Although some important topics did come up, the Supreme Court and what President Trump's pick might mean for the Affordable Care Act, for example, climate change, the reopening of the pandemic economy.
All right. Well, health care, the Affordable Care Act, what'd you hear?
Well, I mean, this is something the Biden campaign is really highlighting around the Supreme Court fight, arguing that if President Trump's nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, is confirmed, it would further risk the Affordable Care Act.
What's at stake here is the president's made it clear he wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. He's been running on that, he ran on that, and he's been governing on that. He's in the Supreme Court right now trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which will strip 20 million people from having insurance, health insurance now.
Now, President Trump highlighted a series of health-related executive orders that he's issued, including one on pre-existing conditions, but that's largely symbolic without Congress on board.
All right, Kimberly, pandemic, including the best way to reopen the economy?
Right. They debated the shape of the recovery, whether it's benefiting everyone or just the wealthy. Biden obviously wants to take a much more cautious approach than Trump, basically arguing that the risks aren't worth it, even for the economy.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you. Some market participants are saying this morning the borderline chaos of last night's debate has increased the sense of uncertainty. The Dow future is now down 223.8%, so is the NASDAQ future. Disney has just announced a huge number of layoffs. 28,000 people will lose their jobs, many from its theme parks, with Disney World in Florida running at limited capacity and Disneyland in California still closed. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Disney employs about 100,000 workers at its U.S. theme parks. The company says two-thirds of those who will be laid off are part-time employees. The head of Disney's theme parks unit said in a statement that uncertainty over the pandemic's duration had made cuts unavoidable, while also blaming California's, quote, unwillingness to lift restrictions that would allow Disneyland to reopen. In Florida, Disney World is open at limited capacity after the company reached a deal with unions representing workers there on various health safeguards. Disney workers' unions released a statement expressing disappointment over the layoffs, saying they have begun negotiations over details such as extended health benefits for affected workers. Disney posted a loss of almost $5 billion for the 3 months ending in June, its first quarterly loss in nearly two decades. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Right now is around the time when, in a typical year, high school seniors are asked to buckle down and sort out their college applications, and parents and students start diving into the financial aid process. But in this COVID year, experts are already seeing signs that financial applications are down, especially for low-income students, leading to the question, who gets to go to college during pandemic? Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Destiny Lara is 18, and she goes to Cal State East Bay. Like many college students, she recently had to leave campus and move back home. She's from South Central LA. For her, that means living in a two-bedroom apartment with 10 family members.
When it comes to concentrating and doing work, I normally do it at night because everyone's asleep. So it's like more quiet and it makes me like focus more. I have like sometimes I think to myself, like, is school really like worth it?
Michelle Siqueiros, president of the Campaign for College Opportunity in California, says it is often very much worth it.
It is absolutely the only path often for low-income students out of poverty.
But for students like Destiny, it's getting harder. Around 100,000 fewer high school seniors completed the FAFSA, or the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, to attend college this year.
That's worrisome because we know that when students, especially low-income students, leave higher education, the probability of them returning is highly unlikely.
With the average student loan debt at around $30,000, the inaccessibility of a college education was a problem long before COVID-19. Black and Latino college education levels lag far behind whites, and many worry that the pandemic will make it worse. Brian Troyer is a dean of undergraduate admissions at Marquette University in Wisconsin. He's heard a lot of students' concerns about financial instability since the spring.
You know, what happens if our family situation changes? Might I qualify for additional financial aid?
In August, the U.S. Census Bureau found students from families with incomes under $75,000 were almost twice as likely to say they canceled plans to attend college than students from wealthier families. Back in South Central L.A., Destiny Lara just took on a new job at a fast food restaurant to make ends meet. She's worried about juggling school and work, but then she remembers she's the first one to make it to college.
My whole family basically like looks up to me. Like my sibling, my cousin, were like, oh, if she is going to college, then you guys can go to college too.
So for now, Destiny Lara is going to keep on going. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
And you are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.